One thing to bear in mind is that the biblical narrative is reflective of the reality that shame was an inbuilt natural consequence of what happens when relationships start to move away in disintegrated, disconnected fashion from God and from each other. It is a signpost. It is a warning sign that tells us something is up, something needs to be done here. We need to say, this is what I am sensing, feeling, so forth and so on. Our job is not that we are trying to get rid of shame because shame in and of itself is bad. Our job is to move toward it, to be able to say, this is what I'm feeling. I need to be able to encounter someone in which they may feel ashamed if I have to have a conversation with them about something that they've done for which they feel shame. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes about a godly sorrow, this sense that we feel something that tells us that something is wrong in this way, but that is moving me back toward relationship.
Okay, now, so explain why that would be different than guilt. Is guilt and shame the same thing?
First of all, developmentally, shame shows up on the landscape far sooner than what we call guilt does. Children don't start to feel the thing we call guilt probably until they're at least in their 36th month or so, 3 to 6 years of age, when their brain is developed enough and wherein which they are able to make a connection between their behavior and what they feel and its impact on another person. They have to have some sense that there is another person in the world that my behavior affects.
Yeah, so now we're getting into the development, the moral development of kids and how they have to get older in order for that to happen. But
right.
Shame.
Right, but shame happens as early as 12, 15 months of age before we have language, and it is a sense of myself. I don't have to have any sense of anybody else in the world. Other people are involved in that I have it, but I don't have any sense necessarily of them in the course of experiencing it, which is why it's significant that when a person is experiencing shame in a deep way, it's very difficult for them to come to someone else and say, I'm feeling ashamed of these things. Whereas with guilt, we frequently, when we feel it, we want to make a move towards someone else immediately in order to resolve that. With shame, we move in the opposite direction. We move away from people. Consequently, what this means is that when it comes to how we deal with this on a practical basis, we're very reticent to talk about this with someone else because we don't want them to feel that. Mm-hmm. However, the thing that is going to be most likely to help them heal it is to give them the opportunity to put language to these things that they feel. And while they are talking about it with you, it actually has the healing effect of changing their brain explicitly because of the interaction that is taking place between them and you, the other person. This is what the essence of the gospel is, that with Emmanuel, with God coming to be with us in our shame, God comes into the very pit of the very place that we couldn't come to him with because of what it does to us neurobiologically.
Mm. When you're saying that, I'm thinking so much about the enemy's plan is always to isolate us and to get us alone and to get us cut off, whether that's cut off from other people, but more importantly, cut off from God. And
that's so
that fits in that whole idea of needing to be able to sit with someone, and particularly with God, with those feelings of shame, acknowledging that those feelings are there and they're real.
That's right.
And then letting the healing part of that begin to happen.
Indeed.
Is that a good way to think about that?
Absolutely. I think the most significant thing that is important for us to pay attention to is in what community am I living, whereby which I am deeply known enough such that all these nooks and crannies where shame will want to hide out will have the opportunity to be revealed, where light can come to that, so that my heart, my life, my brain is not left on its own. For indeed, it's mentioned in the first texts of Genesis. First of all, let us make mankind in our image. We were made as communal beings. And then in Genesis 2, where God says, it is not good for man to be alone. God knows that being alone is really the essence of what hell is all about.